KNW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. The Labor Department says 187,000 jobs were created in the month of August above expectations, the unemployment rate rising to 3.8%. Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas, in new federal disclosures, showing more trips taken on private jets paid for by Republican mega-donor Harlan Crow.
Five flights taken aboard the billionaire's private jet last year, including a May trip to a conference at the old Parkland Estate, Crow's exclusive business campus in Dallas. Thomas stated he was advised by his security detail to take non-commercial travel to Dallas because of the increased security risk following the Dobbs opinion leak in the case that overturned Roe v. Wade.
ABC's Terry Moran. Millions of Americans are traveling on the roads and in the air this long Labor Day holiday weekend. Gas prices are relatively high, averaging around $3.82 a gallon nationwide. And at the airports, the TSA says it expects to screen more than 14 million passengers this weekend. This is ABC News. The United Auto Workers filing unfair labor practice charges against General Motors and Stellantis, owner of Chrysler and Dodge.
Our goal is not to strike. Our goal is to bargain a fair contract. But if we have to strike to win economic and social justice, then we will.
UAW President Sean Fain says the big three automakers aren't taking their demands seriously.
If the shareholders and CEOs are lavishing themselves with the value that we create, then it's our turn for our fair share.
Stellantis and GM say they'll refute the allegations. Labor contracts expire September 14th. Members have okayed a strike if talks go nowhere. In Kansas City, 84-year-old Andrew Lester must now face trial for shooting a black teen who went to the wrong house to pick up his brothers from a playdate. A new warning following the bankruptcy of Bed Bath & Beyond and its revamped website. The Better Business Bureau says scammers are luring customers to a phony website. Dave Packer, ABC News.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Talk of Green Bay News, I'm Pete Schwabe. Here's what you need to know.
Fox Crossing police are asking for your help in finding four men who robbed a convenience store and assaulted a clerk. The incident happened Sunday at the Citgo AV Food Mart at 975 Racine Road on August 27. Authorities say four young males wearing dark clothing ran off with several products. A canine unit was brought in to help with the search, which came up empty. Police have released security cam footage on their website and say they have several leads, but anyone with information is being encouraged to call the Fox Crossing Police Department. A mother and another woman are being charged for live streaming child abuse. Niagara police say 24-year-old Natasha Hunt violently pulled her 2-year-old son's hair, shaking the child. 26-year-old Amara Burns is being charged for not intervening and battery to an officer and resisting. Niagara police learned of the alleged crime after a tip from neighboring police departments.
Pete Schwabe, WGBW 97.9 News.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
We're in the Civic Media Truth Booth at the Brown County Fair. We asked, and here's what you are telling us about living in the Green Bay area, attending the fair, and more.
Novalee Phelps. I work at the fair at Sheridan Amusements. I work with the kiddie rides. I set up, tear down, wash them, and run them, make little kids happy. I run the raceway. I set it up, tear it down. I help with other kiddie rides. I love putting a smile on kids' faces.
Thanks for sharing your story. Listen for more on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW 97.9 FM, 1590 AM, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS 1100 AM, 98.3 FM, and the Civic Media app. And our website, civicmedia.us, and search for Truth Booth. And watch for the Civic Media Truth Booth coming to your town soon.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
When you want something so badly, what you're able to justify and rationalize and get over. So I would say there's not a non-zero chance.
But what record would she run on? Foxconn?
Well, what did she run on for governor? Probably the same thing.
I just remember her warning about people will be marrying coffee tables once gay marriage is allowed. So I'd like her to run just so I can ask her how many of those weddings she's been to.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold.
1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003.
125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football.
You're about to find out.
Under the Helmet with the Grave Digger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown.
Monday mornings at 8 on WISS and WGBW and on the Civic Media app.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Most of us are not just red or blue. We're kind of purple. We want to do what's right while protecting our individual freedoms.
Join the Rational Revolution with hosts Chris Elfheim and Emily Cephos Thursday evenings from 7 to 8 on WGBW, WISS, and the Civic Media app.
Darrell Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Friday. That means Friday's for Sandy Williams. Sandy, the teacher shortage in this nation, you predicted a while back. And we have created this situation. Many of us who have condemned, criticized, beat up on teachers over the last decade or so, hey, they don't work a full year. They're always whining and crying. They're begging for this. They're asking for that. Teachers aren't doing this. Teachers aren't doing that. That people aren't going into education anymore, Sandy, because they've been made to be some kind of villains.
Well, why do we wonder why that is when, number one, teacher pay barely gets them to median income in the United States? But in exchange for that, they have to go through 4 years of college and probably a year of graduate school in order to secure the kind of job they want. So they have to be highly trained. They are modestly paid. And not in today's world, their lives are made miserable by political interference, by lack of respect, by, you know, many teachers are essentially afraid to go out in the community because of the unpleasantness that they are met with. So instead of being, you know, it used to be that the teachers in the 1920s, the teachers in the schoolhouses were respected parts of the community. They were invited to dinner at the households of their children, of the children they taught. They were very respected parts of the community. That's not the case anymore. So we scratch our heads and wonder, why aren't there more teachers? Well, in the fact is, I bought a pair of running shoes a couple of days ago from a very nice young woman who was well trained, had been a music teacher. Now she was fitting shoes because teaching was just too difficult,
unbearable.
And so, you know, we need to figure out. You know, we need to. We think we have this world that's set up in a world of marketplace set up by incentives. Well, what are the incentives
To become a teacher, right?
And then we scratch our heads because essentially there are zero positive incentives and plenty of negative incentives about teaching, and we scratch our heads and say, why aren't there enough teachers?
Well, our kids are behind. Doing well, and so they're falling behind all the other nations and our children because of the teachers. This is what you hear. Right? And you're blaming teachers for all the negative things that are happening with young people and the educational systems. It's all because of the people who are there.
Well, you know, it doesn't take any sort of genius survey arrangement to figure out that the children who are falling behind in school fit into socioeconomic frameworks of people who are in the lower half of the medians and the lower below the median income families in the United States. Those kids are falling behind. Above the median income, they're doing just fine. You know, and so, you know, we've like we have this division in wealth and the division between the haves and the have-nots with respect to money. That same sort of division is occurring with respect to schooling between the haves and the have-nots.
Well, and to say that the educator who's dealing with the lower socioeconomic run is different than the one who's succeeding at the higher economic.
No.
It's a misnomer.
It's just missing the point.
Right.
Teachers are that they are all trained in the same way. The criteria for getting there are the same. The situation they face in the school is different, way different. And it's the situation faced in the school that has far more to do with the outcomes in the schools than it is the teachers. Okay. And so, you know, we need to deal with the situation faced by teachers in schools.
Let's go to Ken from, good morning to you, Ken. You say what?
Good morning, gentlemen. Yeah, that's the public schools that are failing. According to NPR, private schools do have a shortage of teachers, but public school is far greater. It's the public schools. It's not the private schools. It's the public schools that are failing.
Well, let me say, Ken, that's an argument for, I guess, choice and moving kids to private schools. But the private schools, it's a self-selected process. Like I said, socioeconomically, the people who go to private schools socioeconomically are in a different socioeconomic situation than the kids who go to public schools. And, you know, vouchers have some impact on that, but not a great deal. The fact is that socioeconomics is the best corollary to success. And so I think you're making the argument I was making, not necessarily disputing it. Public schools do have a more disproportionate number of the below median income families, students in them, at least in the urban setting. Public schools are doing just great, incidentally, in suburban settings.
Ken?
Yes. Yeah, I'm just stating that. Yeah, it's you always hear schools are failing. It's mostly the public schools that are failing.
Yeah, okay.
Private schools.
All right. Thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Tom from L.A. Good morning to you, Tom. You say what?
Earl, first off, we the people ultimately are the government. We must never forget that. Ken. First off, when you strip the money out of the public schools, which was for all of we the people, doesn't turn anyone down, and you now go and you give it to the private schools and to the charter schools, well, yeah, you're not going to have as great of a public school because the money is going into a different pot. That's number one. Number two, the problem with teaching has become the corporatization and the privatization of schools. You have people sitting on school boards now that basically won an election because they put a bunch of money into an election, and they were actually picked by big billion-dollar donors at this point. We also have a problem, especially in the state of Wisconsin. When Act 10 came along, sorry, that screwed everybody in Wisconsin, not just the teachers, but the people themselves, because the kids were not getting the education. When you go into teaching, and one of the biggest things I know, because I have over 8 different people that are teachers in my family, and they've all retired basically now because they're not going to put up with this anymore
in the state
of Wisconsin because of the fact that their pensions are gone. Any security that they had when they retire, it's not like it was years ago when my dad was a teacher and you know, they had their health benefits afterwards. And now they have to go through a private corporate place to get their health insurance. One of the reasons people wanted to teach them was, one, they loved it, but two, was security for the future. Wasn't like they're getting paid a lot. It was just that the security for the future was going to be there. Well, now that's gone. And then on top of it, if you have any teachers that actually speak out about some of the injustices that are happening, oh boy, let's shut them up. Well, right, you know, away. Let's get them to do virtual teaching. Let's get them out of the school because they might affect other
people. Well, the other thing, Tom, is it was a respected career. And so people respected teachers. And now teachers, I know I've talked to many, teachers have to worry about being out in the public and people cursing them and threatening them and, you know, and blaming them for all the ills that happen. And the fact that, you know, kids aren't learning as much as they used to learn, and all that is pointed, and those fingers are pointed at educators.
And on top of that, what else you got is, just to give an example, someone in my family in Wisconsin was a teacher, but then had to pick up a second job as a server at a restaurant. And, of course, the people that are coming into the restaurant are the students or the parents of the students, which, again, talk about lack of respect because now they're on a lower rung. It is so messed up, and I'm telling you what, the state of Wisconsin and Scott Walker, what he did to that state is absolutely criminal.
Hey, criminal
not only to the teachers, but every person that has a student in the school.
Hey, Tom, thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Tom from West Dallas. Good morning to you, Tom. You say what?
Morning, gentlemen. A lot of Toms you call. Three quick things. One, Mitch McConnell, we need him in office until the election, because he is one of the few people who are actually trying to block MAGA from getting out of hand. Two, didn't Trump set the date for withdrawal from Afghanistan? And how many years were we in Afghanistan? The logistics of getting everything out of there wasn't possible. And the third thing, as far as teaching goes, do you not think that this is all by some design, some long-term goal of, like, Republicans to destroy education and keep the voters dumb so we don't see that? And, I mean, I would never want to be a teacher just because of all the nut jobs out there now, these Moms for Liberty or whatever they're called, those and other things that are going on. Where, oh, this teacher taught this. Well, my kid can't learn that. I would never want to be a teacher either. But again, isn't this all, don't you think this is all from some design to keep the population ignorant towards everything?
Hey, Tom, thank you very much for the call as always. Got to go to a break. Sandy, I'll let you respond on the other side. We'll be right back.
And if you're trying to make it, they only push you aside. They really don't have nowhere to go. Ask them where they're going, they don't know. But we won't let nothing hold us back. We're gonna put our show together, gonna polish up our act well. And if you've ever been held down before, I know you refuse to be held down anymore.
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to sit season, to mastering those retrieval skills season. From clipping your horse for competition season, to keeping the backyard birds well-fed season. And of course, loving your pets like family season. There's a reason people say, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, you don't need it. Because we have it all. Fleet Farm. Built for real life.
We're in the Civic Media Truth Booth at the Brown County Fair. We asked, and here's what you are telling us about living in the Green Bay area, attending the fair, and more.
Novalee Phelps. I work at the fair at Sheridan Amusements. I work with the kiddie rides. I set up, tear down, wash them, and run them, make little kids happy. I run the raceway. I set it up, tear it down. I help with other kiddie rides. I love to put a smile on kids' faces.
Thanks for sharing your story. Listen for more on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW 97.9 FM, 1590 AM, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS 1100 AM, 98.3 FM, and the Civic Media app. And our website, civicmedia.us, and search for Truth Booth. And watch for the Civic Media Truth Booth coming to your town soon.
Here's your updated forecast. Mainly sunny skies and calm this afternoon with a high of 80. South winds 10 to 15 miles an hour. Slight chance for scattered thunderstorms. Tonight lows level off around 62, partly cloudy. Slight chance for scattered thunderstorms again. Tomorrow high temperatures reach up to 86. Cloudy skies expected. Dry and turning warmer Sunday and Monday with highs from the low 90s to the mid 90s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 65.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates, weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM, WGBW.
Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Friday. It means Friday's with my co-host, Sandy Williams. Let's go to KJ. Hey, good morning to you, KJ. You say what?
Good morning. There's so many issues and so little time. You know, I'd like to just say a shout-out to CJ there. Keep calling in. Don't make sure you hold these two accountable. I'd like to get some basic facts earlier in the show. Let's start in the domestic front here. You're talking about employers are having trouble finding workers. And then 30 minutes later, you talk about all these Americans are struggling. Unions went down, so wages went down. Well, the union membership went down, but wages and pay has gone up for the American workers. You can just go, you don't have to guess, just go look at per capita income. Over the last 5, 10, 15, 20 years, it's gone up, not down. In my own experience, not only has our wages gone up, but our health care has gone up. When I started, we didn't have dental. We didn't have eye care. We didn't have prescription drugs. We have all of that covered by our health care plan now. My pension multiplier has gone up, not down, increasing the amount of money.
Hey, KJ, before you get too far down the road, the amount of people who have pensions has dwindled. You can speak about what's happening to you and a small segment of the population, but that is not representative of the masses of the American workers. Sandy, is it safe to say that?
Well, yeah, the difference between anecdotal information, meaning stuff that you might know personally in your own awareness, and what is going on nationally on average. You say per capita income has gone up. Yes, real income. That's the comparison of the rise in income as compared to the rise of inflation. Real income has been stagnant for a very long time. In fact, it's just this last quarter when they've reported now that income rose at 4.4% at a time when inflation was at 3.2%. In this particular period, yes, real income has gone up. But real income from 1990 to the period 2020 was very stagnant, particularly in the middle income category. So I just think you have to be careful, KJ, about anecdotal information, stuff that's specific to an audience of people that you might have personal familiarity with, and the actual broad demographic information, which is different.
Well, again, you don't have basic facts correct.
Go look at per capita income, Bureau of Economic Affairs, and the Department of Labor. This is where the numbers come from. A per capita income is adjusted for inflation.
Well,
I actually proved this on a show that Earl hosted earlier in his career.
Real income has gone up, and it's also gone down in various periods. What is the time period that you're comparing for the real income growth? You're saying it went up. It went up from what year to what year? What are the time periods you're comparing?
It stagnates during great recessions like the one we had from 08, 09, 2000.
No. During what? Just tell me, during starting in what year and ending in what year did real income go up in the United States?
Well, when I proved it on
CJ, let's move on from this because, you know, this is more in depth than we have time for. There was something else.
Well, let's go to the international front. President Biden has done a great job. Now, it is true that Putin did invade Ukraine, but it has been nothing short of a disaster for him. It has ruined his entire army. He's got nobody on the international markets willing to do business with him anymore. China is beginning to suffer from this same dilemma as most international investors and businesses are pulling out or at least not investing in China because of their authoritarian rule. You know, Putin is in so much trouble. He had a coup attempt against him. It was unsuccessful, and it looks like Putin has gotten his vengeance against the person who perpetrated it, sad to say. But Russia has been stopped for their invasion of Ukraine, and even though China has increased its rhetoric and its threats against Taiwan, President Biden has put together a great coalition from South Korea to Japan to the Philippines, not to mention the United States, not to mention Vietnam and India are also now joining against China. He is putting a great coalition together. He's doing a great job. The question, to oppose China's force of Taiwan to be part of communist China. And I repeat, and I say factually, Taiwan has never been a part of communist China, despite the one China policy.
All right, CJ, we don't have enough time. Sandy, you want to respond to any of that? Sandy, hang on from Kenosha. We'll come to you. Sandy, you want to respond? All right. Okay. So we've got to go to a break. Cindy, hang on. We'll be right back.
It's been so long since I kissed her and held her tight in my arms. I've got so far to go now. I've got to get back home. Got to get back home. Walking in rhythm, moving in sound.
Where the fans own the team. This is the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Jim Ryan. The victims and survivors of the wildfires on Maui are being highlighted in a statewide vigil all day across Hawaii. Meanwhile, officials are planning a major update today. They're expected to lower the number of missing to the double digits instead of the hundreds. The long Labor Day weekend rush is on. Roads and airports are expected to be jammed.
The TSA saying they expect to screen more than 14 million passengers over the holiday period. That's from September 1st through September 6th. Passenger volumes could be nearly 11% higher than this point last year. Today is expected to be the busiest day, with more than 2.7 million people set to be screened by TSA agents. But this exodus really started yesterday with 2.6 million screened.
That's ABC's Victor Oquendo in Miami. New employment numbers are out this morning from the federal government. 187,000 jobs were added in August, the same as July, and more than economists had expected. Analysts say it's a sign of a resilient labor market. This is ABC News.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
Talk of Green Bay News, I'm Pete Schwabe. Here's what you need to know.
The Wisconsin Department of Health says the state is desperate for caregivers. The Wisconsin DHS is pushing to certify 10,000 new positions and sidestepping college and private companies to do it. They are offering those interested a chance to get trained and become eligible from their home. The DHS is working with the University of Wisconsin-Green Bay to create the program. Officials are hoping to fill 20,000 openings by next year. The Two Rivers Police Department is asking for your help in finding a thief. They say a man has been stealing from boats at local harbors. Two boats have been stolen from, one on August 16th and another on the 23rd. Two Rivers PD posted pictures of the suspect on their Facebook page. The police are asking people to secure any items on their boats, as thieves tend to look for easy targets. Anyone who might have information on the crimes should contact the Two Rivers Police Department. Pichwaba, WGBW 97.9 News.
Spin the globe and pick where you would go this summer at Ho-Chunk Gaming Nacoosa. We'll be giving away a vacation of your dreams with our Vacation Your Way promotion. Throughout the month of September, you can earn entries for your chance to be one of 10 lucky winners on September 30th, with one grand prize winner receiving a travel certificate for anywhere your heart desires. Only at Ho-Chunk Gaming Nacoosa, your place to play. For complete contest rules, see the Rewards Club booth at Ho-Chunk Gaming Nacoosa. Must be 21 or older to participate and enter the casino floor.
Show the world that age is just a number. Ho-Chunk Gaming Nacoosa presents the golden days for those who are 50 and wiser. Turn up your excitement, because each Tuesday from July to December, you can earn 25 same-day slot points and $10 rewards play. Redeem up to four times. The golden days await at Ho-Chunk Gaming Nacoosa, where the only thing more exciting than your luck is the fun you'll have. For complete contest rules, see the Rewards Club booth at Ho-Chunk Gaming Nacoosa. Must be 21 or older to participate and enter the casino floor.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Sometimes we're not prepared for adversity. When it happens, sometimes we're caught short. We don't know exactly how to handle it when it comes up. Sometimes we don't know just what to do when adversity takes over. I have advice for all of us. I got it from our pianist, Joe Zawinul, who wrote this tune. And it sounds like what you're supposed to say when you have that kind of problem. It's called Mercy. Mercy. Mercy.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. Let's go to Cindy from Kenosha. Hey, Cindy, thank you very much for calling. You say what?
I'm calling in because I heard you talking about the teachers, and my husband's not a teacher, but he does maintenance at a school, and it's an elementary school, and the kids are not in a very rich neighborhood, and some of these teachers have put in to get these kids coats and boots for the winter time. There's a lady that comes in and makes breakfast for these kids. They have about 50 kids that come in the morning at 6 o'clock because their parents go to work early, and they drop them off there. They get breakfast, and they, you know, they get a lot of things that they wouldn't ordinarily have. And the teachers are mainly the ones that spend their money out of their own pockets to help these kids and to get them supplies that they don't have. The people in the area where he works have voted down raising the budget so that these schools have a little bit more money to take care of things. And they, I don't understand why they cut down a budget that these kids need. There's more kids every day, and every day we're going to need a little bit bigger schools and a little bit more money to help these kids. And the kids are the future, and that's why, you know, it's an important thing. People just don't seem to understand how important it is and what the teachers do.
You know, Cindy, your call is a great call, and I don't think Sandy or I could have said it better. Sandy, you, what you were just saying.
Well, and also the future, her mentioning the future. Our politics have to start vesting their interest in our futures and in the future of these young people. And their futures involve daycare, preschool care, education, sound education, sufficient funding for all the things that will sustain their futures so that they don't graduate into a world of student debt, student loans, and a world in which they don't have the opportunities that we all had. And so it's a wonderful call, but I think it's a plea that we all have to make to try and make sure that our politicians now vest themselves in the future. And I suspect part of that is getting younger people and getting fresh people into Washington, people who aren't being responsive to lobbyists but are being responsive to Tom, Dick, and Mary. And I, by that, I mean Tommy, Dickie, and Mary, you know, the little ones.
You know, Sandy, today in the USA Today, emergency child care funding is about to end. Expect more daycares to hike prices and close. You've been constantly talking about daycare. Child care has long been unaffordable and inaccessible for many Americans, costing parents over $10,000 per year on average, while more than half of the population lives in child care deserts with insufficient supply. Industry advocates warn that the situation could grow even more dire in the months to come. Why is that something that we just totally ignore?
How our priorities are so warped when we look at how we spend our money and what we focus our attention on. You were talking about how it is that many little kids, first graders now, are getting to school and can't do the alphabet or know basic math, yeah. Right? And that's not the way it ought to be, and that's not the way it would be if we had broad-scale availability for preschool care and daycare, because properly handled preschool care and daycare deals with those kinds of things during the periods of care. And, you know, we maybe have families who aren't currently providing that sort of support, but if the children had available to them daycare and preschool care that did, they'd all have a better shot. And there's proof that children who get to school in first grade and have that kind of fundamental information do better. Kids who have preschool care and preschool training do better for life.
But, Sandy, if we have the mentality that you had the children, that's your responsibility, and it's not my responsibility, you shouldn't have had the kids if you couldn't afford the daycare. We have that kind of conversation going on, Sandy, and it blinds us to the reality that if we don't do something while these children are young, all of us, it's going to impact all of us, whether they're your children or not.
Well, interestingly, parallel to that kind of thing, we also have a stream of politics which is against family planning. You know, the instructions associated with birth control, for instance, are under threat again,
right,
in many educational settings. So no family planning, but if you have kids, incidentally, it's your problem, not society's problem. We aren't going to help you. You need to do it yourself. It strikes me that if the evangelical movement really was invested in evangelical Christianity, they would be very involved with preschool care and all of the aspects associated with giving every child every opportunity to be a successful adult.
Well, because after all, they become adults. As you stated, we can't, on the one hand, talk about all the crime that is going on and not understand. We don't have to be Sandy Williams and have this aptitude to understand that if we don't do something about children when they're young and plan and prepare for them, we're going to wind up on the other side of this where we've got, well, lock them up. We need, you know, make the sentences longer. It's going to cost us more at that juncture, Sandy, with having to employ all the people who work in prisons, pay pensions and all those kind of things, than it does if we took care of this before.
Well, certainly. I mean, criminals aren't born. They evolve,
yes,
based on the environment into which they're born. And children don't choose the environment into which they're born. So you would think that we would all roll up our sleeves and decide that every child born requires that we offer every child born the opportunity and all the opportunities for success.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so politically, how have we gotten so far removed from that mission that we're where we are today, which is not accepting of that concept whatsoever?
You know, Sandy, we have gone backwards. Again, I always refer to my family and the opportunities. Kids had a better opportunity in the society offered early childhood education and other things. They knew it worked.
Well, you had 12 siblings.
Yeah, right.
You didn't worry about health care in your family.
No,
you didn't sit around the table worrying about whether you could go to the doctor or not if someone got sick. You went to the doctor if someone got sick because your father's union had taken care of health care. And
we were never hungry because he made enough money.
Right.
Certainly to feed him.
And you didn't need daycare because your mother was home. Okay. And so all of those things have changed today. And KJ can call in and say that real income has gone up, but the ability, the buying power of the dollar and the lifestyle and the standard of living has not kept pace, okay? And you can buy a big TV today, whether you're rich or poor, but there's an awful lot of other things that you can't afford.
Well, Sandy, I can tell you, housing, heating, you know, during the winter, all of those things are really out of reach for a lot of people. Let's go to Bill from Oconomowoc. Good morning to you, Bill. You say what, sir?
Well, again, happy Friday. It's the weekend's coming. I hope you guys are going to have a wonderful weekend. But moving forward, we have a culture of politicians that no longer believe humanitarianism is important. They believe profit and paying the people to keep the profits high. That's what life is about. Profit. Me. I. What are you going to do for me? That has changed dramatically because many of these people have never been through a world war. Many of these people haven't been through the riots that we had when we were young. They don't know what it means to look out for your brother or take care of children that have no means of helping themselves. But one guy that you know quite well, in fact, I talk to him all the time, you got to have him on the air more. Get Larry Heisel on the air. Let him talk about what he does with kids in schools where they have no mother or father.
So let me say this, Bill. You know, Larry Heisel is a man who clearly understands I am my brother's keeper. Sandy made a statement a moment ago about the churches, and Sandy about the role that the churches should be taking in fighting this battle.
Well, yeah, I mean, the churches that are politically active, which is primarily the evangelicals, you would think that what they would be fighting would be for post-birth welfare of all the children that are brought into the world. I mean, right now we seem to be worried an awful lot about pre-birth welfare of the fetus, at least politically, but we don't seem to have anywhere near the same kind of rhetoric or political attention being paid to post-birth welfare. And so my view is let's put our money where our mouth is, and let's start talking an awful lot about that, because we could solve a lot of our problems, our crime problems, our societal problems, by just paying more attention to post-birth welfare.
And Sandy, exactly what you're talking about, I grew up through Christian education, better part of my life. I am so sick of people that they're against abortion. Now, I am too. But I'm also against the illegal or stopping the people at the border and turning them back to a certain death. I'm also totally against not to take care of children who have no means of really taking care of themselves, not to help students have student loans. If we invest in our youth, we invest in America. If we invest in the profits of corporation, we invest in an oligarchy, whatever, anarchy, whatever you want to call it. But that takes away the humanitarianism of our culture. We need to care about our neighbors first. Everything else will fall into place.
Hey, Bill.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Gary from Sussex. Good morning to you, Gary. You say what?
Well, I got a bone to pick. As much as I like Sandy, and I really look forward to listening to him, and he's very smart, and I agree with a lot of stuff he says, but a couple of things I want to bring up. He said earlier about Crimea that he said, well, they're Russian-speaking people there, and you know, I understand that, you know, that Crimea was taken over. Well, the Russians went into a sovereign country, took over. It's like if all of a sudden the people from Illinois decided to take over, Kenosha. Well, people, my brother lives in Kenosha, and he watches WGN on television, and he listens to the sports and stuff like that. But he's still from Wisconsin, so Obama blew that one, and because of that, that's what the problems would happen in Ukraine, because he thought he'd get away with when Trump was in president, he didn't try it. As soon as Biden got in there, then he came in there.
Gary, let me just speak to the. Let's do this one at a time. I think you're done with the Crimea discussion. The history of Crimea is what I was talking about. You know, Crimea and the Donbass region.
Sandy, I need you to hold the thought. We got to go to a break. Gary, hang on. We'll let you carry you over to the other side. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
Mercy, 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 mercy. Thank you.
We're in the Civic Media Truth Booth at the Brown County Fair. We asked, and here's what you are telling us about living in the Green Bay area, attending the fair, and more.
Novalee Phelps. I work at the fair at Sheridan Amusements. I work with the kiddie rides. I set up, tear down, wash them, and run them, make the little kids happy. I run the raceway. I set it up, tear it down. I help with other kiddie rides. I love to put a smile on kids' faces.
Thanks for sharing your story. Listen for more on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW 97.9 FM, 1590 AM, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS 1100 AM, 98.3 FM, and the Civic Media app. And our website, civicmedia.us, and search for Truth Booth. And watch for the Civic Media Truth Booth coming to your town soon.
If you care about animals or crops, you probably care how the weather could impact both.
It's summer in Wisconsin, and the success of your efforts often depends on knowing the forecast. Count on your local Civic Media weather team for all the information you need.
Crops roots are also growing deeper in search for water, which is bad news, because when rain finally falls, it will sit shallow and be absorbed in the top layers of the soil.
Your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the app.
Here's your updated forecast. Mainly sunny skies and calm this afternoon with a high of 80. South winds 10 to 15 miles an hour. Slight chance for scattered thunderstorms. Tonight, lows level off around 62, partly cloudy. Slight chance for scattered thunderstorms again. Tomorrow, high temperatures reach up to 86. Cloudy skies expected. Dry and turning warmer Sunday and Monday, with highs from the low 90s to the mid 90s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 65.
From I-43 to I-41. This is the Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM, WGBW.
Welcome back to what is a fast-moving Friday edition of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Friday. It means Friday is my co-host, Sandy Williams. Sandy, you wanted to respond.
Yeah, quick, just quickly now, like David. Gary, you were talking about the Crimea. When I was talking about Russian speakers in Crimea, I wasn't talking about currently. I was talking about the history of Crimea, and that has something to do with what I was saying is that Crimea has many Russian sympathizers residing there, and if Ukraine were to take it back over, they would end up with a situation much like they had in Donbass, which was a great deal of conflict between the Russian-leaning residents of Crimea and the Ukrainian nationalists. And so Crimea is fraught with that problem, just as the Donbass is. Crimea and Donbass were both part of the Russian Federation until 1954 within the Soviet Union, and Khrushchev changed the boundary arbitrarily because, in fact, he was a Ukrainian, and I think he was trying to throw a bone to Ukraine to give him that favor. But Crimea has always been very important to Russia strategically because of Sevastopol and the warm water port.
Gary, what else quickly?
It was part of Ukraine, and you can't just go out there and just start taking over. It's like the Mexicans won Texas back.
I wasn't talking about the correctness of it. I was talking about the facts of it and the situational problems that would exist one way or the other, whether Russia occupies Crimea or whether Ukraine occupies Crimea, it will be a contested place.
All right, quickly, Garrett, there's one other thing you wanted to say.
Yes, there was, but I just wanted to just finish one point.
I know, but
we're done with Ukraine.
All right. The other point is you generalize the problem with not taking care of the little kids and that are like struggling in the inner city or wherever. And you said
as well as rural areas
the Christian right basically
no I didn't blame the Christian right, Gary. No, look, let me just get this straight. I just said that I hoped the Christian right would devote as much political attention and rhetoric to solving the problems of the young people in this country as they have devoted to the issue of abortion. That's all. I didn't say they were causing it. I just said I thought there ought to be a lot more political attention paid to it.
But because you're not a evangelical, so you don't know that we're not doing these. We are doing these things. Our church donates money. We have food.
No, I talked about political attention, Gary. I don't disbelieve the churches themselves. Do a great deal.
Individual churches.
I'm just saying politically what we need is the attention paid to the priority of our American resources.
And children once they're here as well as before they're born. That's what he was saying.
Let me ask you, do you think that basically the evangelicals are mostly Republicans? Would you basically say that?
Listen, we don't have enough time to get into that. Thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Marty. Hey, Marty, how you doing?
Uh,
Good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for the show, Earl. Always a pleasure. I'm a much better listener than a speaker, so I'm sorry for calling late.
No, man, it's all right.
If I may just once again try to get this out there, what is the plan? We have itemized everything: transportation, daycare, good food, education, infrastructure, senior living, race relations, finances, entertainment, higher education, retirement, crime, environment, airports, economic development, housing. All of these issues have been talked about, and they've been itemized as to what the problem is and some solutions that I think would work. My question is, why can we not come together and put together one plan which encompasses all of these issues? And by doing that all at the same table at the same time, I think, and Sandy, I'd be interested, I think we'd gain synergies, we'd gain efficiencies, we'd gain economies of scale. We would bring people to the city to go to work. We would bring the banks to the table.
Jerry, you do speak well.
Revive City Milwaukee and bring it back to where it should be.
Absolutely. You know,
hey, Marty, thank you, man. We got to run.
Marty, you've said it. You said it absolutely. And I think this network is designed to try and accomplish just what you're talking about. Try not only to talk about the problems, but to try and expose them, get people to agree on what the problems are so we can sit down at a table and disagree about the solutions until we come up with a solution we can agree upon. What we've spent all our time doing now is ignoring the acceptance of an agreement on the problems, okay? So if we could all agree, like you decide, you recited the list, and it was very fair and accurate. And if we could now get people to sit down at a table, regardless of their political backgrounds, and say, okay, these are problems, let's talk about solutions. We could move from food fight to productive, constructive discussions quite quickly.
You know,
and our economy would thrive as a result of it.
You know, Sandy, I have to say, the conversations, the ebb and flow is getting better with our show,
mm-hmm.
and the audience is growing. And so we're going to keep on having the dialogue. We do understand that the listeners are part of our show.
Yeah, and I'm sorry our show is too short so that someone like Gary was cut off there, because I think he was – Gary definitely calls in and he wants to talk about things and not argue about things, and I think that's exactly the direction we're trying to go.
And I always try to tell people to call in earlier,
uh-huh.
because it always seems, Sandy, as we get towards the end of the show, we get all the calls. And then we're up against, and the conversations that we're having are pretty in-depth, and so people want to, and we don't give people 30 seconds and cut them off. But at the same time, when we get to a certain point in time, we have to, kind of bring it to an end. But I want to say again, we'll be on the air 8 to 11 on Memorial Day at Labor Fest. We'll be doing a live remote. Listen to labor leaders across the state, politicians from across the state, and national politicians for 3 hours on Labor Day, as, again, civic media and is so gracious to allow us to broadcast Labor Fest, which is one of the largest Labor Day gatherings in the Midwest. That'll be from 8 to 11. Calvin and I will be together, and thank all of you who made the show go. Thank all of you who always listen to us. You got a lot of different places you can go, but you choose to listen to us. Sandy, as always, great having you on, and we'll all rejoin one another again on Monday. Oh, on Tuesday. Oh, well, on Monday.
Well, you're on Monday.
Yeah, Monday.
I'll see you on Friday.
Yeah, and Tuesday, Leroy Butler, the Hall of Fame Green Bay Packer, is going to be joining me again in studio. We'll see you then.
Oh, The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Drive safely, Wisconsin. Highway workers are out on the road. Help them out. Slow down, stay focused, and eliminate distractions. Work zone safety. It's everyone's responsibility.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay. And always streaming on the Civic Media